Thank you, Father, that even when we were running away from you, you pursued us because of your love for us. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us not to question that love, not to doubt that love, but just to receive it. And just to know that you are good and you are faithful. You are a loving and compassionate Father, and I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that you will open the eyes of our hearts and speak to us this morning. Help us, God, to receive what you have to say to us today and to respond to you in a way that honors the name of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You all can have a seat. I just had a rather embarrassing moment. I was in the bathroom. You ever have one of those moments where you turn the faucet on and the water splashes and it lands in a very inconvenient place on your pants? That happened, and now I'm standing in front of all of you. So just thought I'd get that out of the way in case that's a noticeable distraction. So, yeah. Yes, that's my story, Joe. Yes. All right. I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1. We're going to start out in James chapter 1, and we're also going to go to John 15. So James chapter 1, and then John 15. As most of you are very aware, our church has been going through a very difficult time for about the past 6 months. The first 4 months, I think, brought us together and brought a strong sense of unity to our church. The last 2 months, however, have brought division to our church. We're going to talk about that today, and then after today, we're going to move forward. To be honest with you, I am very tired of talking over and over again about the challenges and the difficulties we are facing as a church. I know for myself, my mind has been very distracted lately about all the things that are happening. My mind has been so focused on trying to fix the problems and the fires that keep popping up seemingly every couple of days. The number of phone calls and texts and emails I receive on a regular basis of one more problem, one more crisis, one more issue that has to be resolved has become, honestly, it's become overwhelming. And that's not good because it keeps me from focusing on what God has called us to do and leading us forward as a church to do what God has called us to do. So let me clarify a couple of things. We are not called as a church. We are not called to hold grudges. We are not called to have endless conversations about something that happened a couple months ago that upset us. We're not called to gossip or to listen to gossip. We're not called to turn minor offenses or misunderstandings into massive conflict that is almost impossible to resolve. That is not what we're called to do. We are called to pursue revival. We are called to be a spirit-filled church, pursuing God's glory in this place and at this time. We are called to demonstrate God's love for one another, for our families, and for this community in which he's placed us. That's who we are. That's why God planted this church 8.5 years ago. It's why God has blessed this church, and it's what I intend to continue leading us towards as your pastor. So today, I want to address some of what's been happening over the last few months. Next week, we're going to focus on some of the good things that God is up to. Because in the middle of all of this, God is doing some awesome things, and I want you to know that. God's been bringing new people into our church. God has been bringing prayer warriors to our church. We've seen some amazing answers to prayer. I've heard some of your stories, some of the ways that God is working in your lives. There has been the last couple of weeks, the last 2 weeks in particular, there's just been a great sense of God's presence as we meet together for prayer on Wednesdays, and we're seeing God bring unity to that group, and it's just awesome, the powerful prayer times that we're having. There's new ministry starting up. I don't know where DJ ran off to, but he started a Bible study for the guys in the youth group, and that's awesome, and God is doing some really cool stuff right now. But it's easy for us to miss that because it gets overshadowed by some of the negative things that have been happening the past couple months. So today, I want us to talk about the negative stuff, and I want to put that into context. In other words, to talk about what that negative stuff actually means for us as a church. Next week, we're going to talk about the positive stuff and what God is doing. I'm going to ask several of you to share what God has been doing in your life because you've been sharing it with me, and I want you to share it with the rest of us too. And then the week after that, we're going to start talking about the Holy Spirit and what He longs to do in our lives and in the life of this church. So that's where we're headed today and over the next couple weeks. I want to pause and I want to pray again, and then let's jump into James chapter 1. So Father, I want to thank You that in the middle of our trials, in the middle of the pain and the uncertainty and the difficulty, You are good and You are faithful. And Lord, You are up to something. I thank You that as somebody once said, You never waste a hurt. You do something through all of that if we let You. So God, I pray that we will let You. I pray that we will receive Your work and that we will receive Your word. Guide us, Lord, and speak to us and strengthen us as a gathering of believers so that we can fulfill the calling You've placed on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, James chapter 1, and let's start in verse 2. Here's how he starts. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." How many of you would agree with me? That's one of the most annoying verses in all of Scripture, right? Let's just be honest. Especially when you're going through a difficult time and you share that with somebody and they throw that verse at you. You know, "I'm really struggling. It's really hard right now. This really hurts." Well, just consider it all joy. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, thanks. That helps. That makes everything better, right? But there's truth in this. And he tells us, consider it joy, but there's a reason for that. Take a look at what he says next. He says, "For you know, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." James is writing here to a group of people who are going through some very difficult times and difficult trials. And what he wants them to know is this: those trials are not random, they're not meaningless, and they are not unnoticed by God. He wants them to know there's a purpose behind all of that, that those trials they're going through are going to accomplish something in their lives if they will let God's work happen in their lives through those trials. The same thing is true for us as a church. The same thing is true for you individually. And whatever trials you might be facing, whatever difficulties you might be going through, you need to know that God knows, that God sees that. You need to know that those trials are not random. They're not meaningless. They are not unnoticed by God. God wants to use them to bring something amazing into your life if you will let Him accomplish His work through those trials and those difficulties. So I think some of our challenge is we bought into the lie that God's goal is to make us happy. It's not. God's goal is to make us more like Christ. Amen. God wants us to grow, and growth is difficult. Two things we need to know about growth. God wants us to grow, and growth is painful. That's true for individuals, and it's true for churches. God wants His church to grow in multiple ways, and growth is painful. Growth, James tells us, requires troubles and testing. He goes on to say that we need endurance. In order for growth to happen, we need endurance. Now think about that word, endurance. Endurance is only needed when things are difficult. For example, I've never had to endure a hot fudge sundae. I have had to endure broccoli. I've never had to endure a raise or a bonus. I have had to endure high taxes and high gas prices. I've never had to endure a vacation. Oh, great, we get to sit on the beach and relax. I've never had to endure that, but I have had to endure difficult jobs and difficult bosses. Whenever we talk about endurance, we're talking about going through difficult times. God wants us to grow, and James tells us growth is painful. And that's where we are as a church right now. That is the, I want us to understand the context of all of this that we're going through. And adding to that, to add some additional context, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. And I want you to notice what he says here in the first two verses. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more." So in James chapter 1, growth is seen as difficult and challenging. It requires problems and trials. It's something that requires endurance. And in John 15, growth is described as pruning. And pruning means something is cut off. Something is trimmed back. It is removed from us. And if you're a gardener, you know about pruning. Gardeners will take a healthy branch, a branch that is doing what it's supposed to do, and trim it way back. Why? So that it will produce more fruit. And back in the day, a long time ago, this is what a pruning knife looked like. Does that look like fun, having something like that coming after you? And today, this is what they look like. Does that look enjoyable? Having something that's valuable to you cut off and removed, taken away from you? That's not enjoyable at all. But Jesus says if a branch is producing fruit, it will be pruned. In fact, it has to be pruned because if it's not, it will stop producing fruit. It will stagnate and it will never reach its potential. And this church has been a fruitful branch. God has done some amazing things in this church and through this church. Many of you have been here for a long time. You've been a part of that. You've seen that. Some of you have come to this church because you've heard about that. And God wants to continue doing those things. But in order for that to happen, sometimes pruning is necessary. And that's what we are seeing right now in our church. We are experiencing a time of growth. And some of that is awesome. Some of that is exciting, and some of it is very painful. And as you've noticed over the past couple months, there are some people who have left the church, people who are very valuable to us, people who we love, people who are friends of ours, people who we miss, and it is painful to see them go. I need to say this, there is a time to leave a church and go somewhere else. There's a right time to do that, and there are valid reasons for doing that. But there's also a time to stay and to work through the challenges and to fight the battles alongside your brothers and sisters rather than leaving them. In the same way, there's a right way to leave a church, and there's a wrong way to leave a church. There's a way to leave a church that brings healing and unity. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, there's a whole bunch of wrong ways to leave a church where unity is disrupted, where gossip is spread, and where conflict escalates. And all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of texts and phone calls and conversations and accusations. And sadly, that is part of what has happened to our church over the past 6 weeks. And some people got dragged into a minor conflict that had nothing to do with them. And sometimes the result of that is they get discouraged, they get wounded, and they leave. And it hurts. And I'll be honest with you, some of them, these are my friends, and these are your friends. And one of those individuals who left, you'll notice over the last couple of weeks, there's someone who's not here. One of those people who stopped coming, at least for a while, because she's been deeply wounded by things that have been said about her and to her over the last couple of months, is my own daughter. So yes, it hurts. And I'm sorry to tell you this, but I really believe over the next few weeks, there will be some additional people who will leave this church. I hate to be a downer. I really do. Especially for those of you that are new to our church. Welcome to the Encounter Church. Aren't you glad you're here? We're a gathering of imperfect people. And that is absolutely 100% true. But I want you to know, without a shadow of a doubt, in the middle of all of this, God is up to something. God is doing some things through all of this. God has not abandoned us. And yes, breakthrough is coming. There's a better day that is yet to come. Right now, we're in the middle of trials. But James says trials and testing are part of growth. Jesus said that pruning is necessary for growth. So where does all this lead? Well, Jesus said that pruning leads to more fruitfulness. And as I said, this church has been fruitful. From day one, we have been a light shining in this community. Over the past 8.5 years, we've seen lives changed. People saved, baptized, discipled, called into ministry, addictions broken, sicknesses healed, and there's a lot more that's yet to come. From day one, this church has been a very loud and very bold voice to this community that God knows you, God loves you, and you matter to Him. That has been our message to this community for 8.5 years, and we are never going to stop. And as I've said, revival is coming. Right now, God is pruning a fruitful branch. And that means right now, it's painful. But it also means good things are on the way as a result of that. So back to James chapter 1, I want to point something out to you here. Take a look again at what he says. He says, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. What does this lead to? It leads to more endurance. And that word endurance is associated with the word hope. It refers to that character quality that gives us the strength to not surrender and to not give up when life is difficult because we know something better is on the way. Is that something you need in your life? I guess not. Is that something our church might need? I think so. And here's how that's developed, that mindset of endurance. It's developed by going through trials. It's not developed just by things happening the way we would like them to. This character quality known as endurance, the ability to be faithful when it's hard to be faithful, the ability to persist in following God when it's hard to follow God, the ability to trust God that something good is coming when something bad is happening, that character quality, that mindset, it doesn't happen when life is going well. It is developed during times of trial. And James says the result of that is that God wants to make us perfect. That means complete, lacking nothing. That's what's coming. That's what God wants to build into us. But I need to warn you, it doesn't happen automatically. Going through bad times doesn't automatically lead to growth. You know this if you've been through bad times. We can choose what to do with those bad times. And for it to produce growth in our lives, that requires something of us. So again, look at what James says. He says, endurance has a chance to grow. And then he says this, so let it grow. When he says, let it grow, that's not a passive thing, like just sit back and let things happen. The word he uses here literally means to hold on to something. In other words, he's saying we need to pursue whatever God is doing in us in the middle of these trials. That we need to embrace the work God is doing. Not the work to fix the problems, but the work to fix me. The work he's doing to change me through all of this, because that's what needs to happen. That's what God wants to do through this. And that's hard for us to pursue. It's hard for us to embrace, especially when the difficult time we're going through is rooted in conflict with someone else. We don't do that very well. We tend to focus on, here's why I'm right, here's why they're wrong, here's all the things that I need to say to defend myself and protect myself and pursue my rights. That's what we tend to focus on. There is a time to have difficult conversations. There's a time to be honest, even if that honesty hurts the other person. There is a time for that. But there's also a time to stop talking and listen. Because God has something to say to us in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And so James says, let it grow. This work that God is doing in you, hold on to that, embrace that. In other words, instead of just focusing on my rights and what I want, I need to focus on this. God, what do you want? What do you want from me? And what do you want to do in me through this? Because whenever we go through trials, God wants to build something in us through those trials. And so we need to embrace that. We need to hold on to that. We need to embrace that work happening in us. And ask the question, God, what are you saying to me in the middle of this? What are you wanting to do in me in the middle of this? When we ask that question, when we embrace that work, that's how we grow through these trials. That's how we develop endurance. That's how we become complete, lacking nothing. And that's how pruning leads to more and more and more and more fruit. And then he gives this promise. I want you to see what he says in verse 12. He again talks about endurance, and notice what he says. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That's an awesome promise, isn't it? God promises that if we endure, if we go through this and learn the things he's teaching us and embrace his work in our lives, God promises blessing and a crown of life. That is amazing. And it gets even better. When we go back to John chapter 15, where Jesus talks about pruning, and he says that a branch that bears fruit, it will be pruned so it produces more fruit. Then he says this. This is where that leads in verse 8. He says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. That's where this leads. That day when we stand before God and Jesus says, this person, they produced much fruit. This is someone who brought glory to your name, Father. This person is my true disciple. That's what this is all about. That's where this leads if we let his work happen in our lives through these trials. So yes, we're going through trials right now, a time of pruning, times that require endurance, but I want you to know it's leading somewhere. It's not random, it's not meaningless, and it is not unnoticed by God. Someone once said this, grapes must be crushed to make wine. Diamonds are only formed under intense pressure. Olives have to be pressed to release oil. And seeds only grow in darkness. So whenever you feel crushed, under pressure, pressed, or surrounded by darkness, keep hope alive, because God is using it to bring about a powerful transformation in you. I agree with that 100%, but I need to add this. We have to let him. We have to embrace that work that he is doing for it to happen. God has done some amazing things in this church. And I think over the past couple months, we've lost sight of that. All of the trauma of last fall and all of the drama of this spring have caused us to lose focus on what God has called us to be and to do, has caused us to lose sight of the joy and the excitement we have just gathering together every single week. And today I'm saying no more. It's time to regain that. It's time to grab hold of what God wants to do here once again. No more distraction. No more being derailed from God's purposes. No more being pushed aside from pursuing revival and what God wants to do. We are the Encounter Church, and we are called to pursue God with a passion. That's what God has called us to do. I want to show you one more verse that really grabbed my attention this week. A couple weeks ago, we talked about apathy, and we looked at a few verses from the book of Haggai, and we talked about how God had sent them back to rebuild the temple, and they started, and then they got distracted, and other things became more important to them, and so they stopped. And the prophet Haggai came, and he spoke a very difficult word to them. He spoke a word they did not want to hear, and it was very uncomfortable. But they listened, and they received it. They didn't get defensive. They weren't offended. They received what God said to them. And then it says this, Haggai 1, verse 14. Look at what it says. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the enthusiasm of Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. They began to work on the house of their God, the Lord of heaven's armies. If you get past all the names, here's what's happening. It says that God sparked their enthusiasm. God lit a fire in their hearts. And when he did, they fulfilled what God had called them to do. He stirred up their spirit, and they accomplished everything God intended for them to accomplish. That is my prayer for this church. That is my prayer for me, that we will stop focusing on things God has not called us to focus on, but that God will stir up within us that revival fire, that hunger for him, an outpouring of his Holy Spirit that will move us forward to fully accomplish everything he put this church here to accomplish. That is my prayer for us. So God, we pray that in Jesus' name, stir us up. God, we are tired, we are distracted, we are discouraged. Stir us up, God, and light a fire in us. God, we confess we've wandered, we've pursued other priorities, false gods. God, stir us up and light a fire in us. God, we've lost heart, and we've turned away from our first love. We've allowed other things to become more important. We've allowed other things to distract us from your calling and your purposes. God, stir us up and light a fire in us. God, we need revival. We need your Holy Spirit to come and to fill us and to overflow through us and to touch the lives of others. God, we need to see this community turn to you. We need to be a light shining in the darkness. God, stir us up and light a fire in us. God, I thank you that you have not abandoned us. And I thank you that in the middle of everything we're going through, you have a purpose behind it. There's something you are going to accomplish through it. And so, God, we choose to receive that. We choose to embrace that. We choose to pursue everything you've called us to pursue. So, God, I pray against this whole idea of being distracted. I pray against division and against gossip. I pray against broken relationships. God, I pray for healing. And I pray for unity and for restoration. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we humbly, we belong to you. And we're going to pursue you. We're going to pursue your purposes, your plans, your desires. We belong to you, Lord. This church is here because of you. It's not about me and it's not about anyone else here. This is all about you. And so, God, we submit to you with all of our hearts. Stir us up, Lord. Light a fire in us. Stir up a passion in us to pursue and to embrace everything you want to do here. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say